Welcome back to Season 1, Episode 5 of The Paperback Noob. I'm your host and fellow noob writer, Jessica. Whew, it's raining and storming and power outaging in Sacramento right now. There are trees falling down, and luckily my neighborhood hasn't suffered a power outage, but it looks like it's wreaking havoc in the Sac area right now. Guess what, noobs? I'm totally going to begin the first chapter of my book! Yeah! My sci-fi novel. I'm super excited. I'm making sure that I'm keeping this headspace of making sure that I'm not being perfectionistic and really being mindful of the headspace that I'm a work in progress. This is a rough draft, not perfection. So today I'm going to be making this podcast a little shorter. I feel like I may be running against the clock to make sure I get my episode in before the power goes out. It's a definite possibility that the power may go out because it's been going out everywhere, it seems, except for my neighborhood. I feel very lucky and grateful. You seem to take those things for granted, you know, when you lose power or your refrigerator kicks out or the air conditioning in the summertime decides to conk out. You really do become reminded of all of little life's pleasures that you get to enjoy. Today, I want to chat a little bit about self-care and writing. Self-care as a pop culture term seems to invoke these ideas of lattes and treat yourself at Target and do yoga, that sort of thing. I use self-care in a different way. As far as being a therapist, I talk to my clients as if self-care were a habit, just like brushing your teeth, something that's part of your daily routine, not just a band-aid for when you're already burned out, which is what I see constantly. I write prescriptions for clients to engage in self-care almost every day that I see clients. Seriously, you would think that that would be apparent and obvious in most people's lives, but it's really not. It's sort of a last solution, a last resort to being burned out. People don't realize that they are burned out until they get there or until after the fact, and that's when they come to see me. And when I let them know that self-care is so important, they look at me usually and say, "Oh, I know I have to do that." But I constantly prescribe writing as a tool for self-care. So journaling, writing a poem, taking time to sit and breathe and write out what pissed you off or made you joyful that day. In therapy, there's a term called externalizing. And externalizing is essentially taking out a part of your thought process or your emotion. Maybe you were feeling overwhelmed or angry or sad or irritated, whatever the emotion you're feeling that's overwhelming you, and externalizing it, placing it outside of your mind. And I will ask people to have it sit on the couch next to them and describe it. So I will ask them, okay, if you're experiencing depression or if you're experiencing symptoms of anxiety, what does it look like? Can you describe it? Write it. Write about it. What color is it? What does it smell like? Does it have a name? I really do think there is a whole cliche of the pen being mightier than the sword, and I think that's absolutely true. If we externalize, if we take our thought process and our emotions and we set them aside and really examine and explore them and even write about them, it can be very powerful. It can create a sense of problem solving. It can create a sense of calm. If you set a timer for 3 minutes and you journal about your thoughts and feelings for the day, you're absolutely taking care of yourself on an existential level. Instead of having that depression or that anxiety consume you, you can take it and externalize it on the page, and it becomes art. No matter how dark, no matter how sad, even if it's something that was great that happened to you that day, it's great to just get that out of your system and to not hold on to it. There's this Buddhist idea of not having attachments to things. And I can resonate with that when you have an attachment, whether it be to a person, to an event, to an emotion, it can become very destructive. And that's something that I am frequently talking to my clients about, in session is making sure that they're not holding on to the sadness, the depression, the anxiety, but releasing it. And if you're a writer, that's a great way to release it. It's a great way to solve the issues that are going on, solve the stressors that are going on in your life, to make sure that you externalize. I'd like to take this time to read you a poem that will forever be my most cherished and life-altering piece I've ever read and put on my wall, actually. It is a poem written by, the pen name is Oriah, so it's O-R-I-A-H, Oriah, and the poem's entitled The Invitation. I'm going to go ahead and read that to you. It doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for, and if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's longing. It doesn't interest me how old you are. I want to know if you will risk looking like a fool for love, for your dream, for the adventure of being alive. It doesn't interest me what planets are squaring your moon. I want to know if you have touched the center of your own sorrow, if you have been opened by life's betrayals, or have become shriveled and closed from fear of further pain. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own, without moving to hide it, or fade it, or fix it. I want to know if you can be with joy, mine or your own, if you can dance with wildness and let the ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes without cautioning us to be careful, be realistic, remember the limitations of being human. It doesn't interest me if the story you are telling me is true. I want to know if you can disappoint another to be true to yourself, if you can bear the accusation of betrayal and not betray your own soul, if you can be faithless and therefore trustworthy. I want to know if you can see beauty, even when it's not pretty every day, and if you can source your own life from its presence. I want to know if you can live with failure, yours and mine, and still stand at the edge of the lake and shout to the silver of the full moon, yes. It doesn't interest me to know where you live or how much money you have. I want to know if you can get up after the night of grief and despair, weary and bruised to the bone, and do what needs to be done to feed the children. It doesn't interest me who you know or how you came to be here. I want to know if you will stand in the center of the fire with me and not shrink back. It doesn't interest me where or what or with whom you have studied. I want to know what sustains you from the inside when all else falls away. I want to know if you can be alone with yourself, and if you truly like the company you keep in the empty moments. The poem you just heard made me cry. I first heard it in my own therapy session with my amazing therapist a few years ago. It was one of our final sessions, and I will never forget how moved I felt, how amazingly loud this spoke to my life. So my invitation to you is to take care of yourself as if you were an unfinished yet beautiful piece of writing. Checking out now. Until next time, let's keep writing.